Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017,
run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Well, thank God that's over. Let's never talk of Origin again.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tony.
Wendell Saylor, how are you? There is a smile on that dial this afternoon. How are you feeling? He's already got his phone out, Gerds, just recording the proceedings.
There's a small canopy over the smile as well. It's still there.
I'm feeling good, boys. It's been a really good week. Not just for myself, but, you know, I just think for the lovers of Origin football, I think it was a story for the ages. Mate, great win by Queensland up there in Game 3, and you know, I was really proud of the way that Queensland carried themselves through the series, you know.
Right. And you've been gloating ever since, have you?
No, not at all. I'm just a really proud Queenslander.
Yeah.
I'm a really proud Queenslander. And for me, I'm very proud of guys like Kevy Walters and Cam Smith. And also a guy like Jonathan Thurston. He didn't play in that last game.
Yeah.
And you could just tell by the end, he sort of got embarrassed about the fanfare about him.
There was a pivotal moment in that series, Tony, and it was when, you know, Kevin Walters rang Wendell and Wendell told him to go with his gut and pick his team. And ever since that moment, Del, they didn't lose another game.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that you do that for your state. You know, Gerds, mate, you should have called Laurie and helped him out a little bit, but you didn't. But he just didn't take your call. He just didn't take your call.
You let me go through. I left a couple of messages.
Speaking of taking a call, I didn't take Wendell's call. So he left a voicemail. This is the day after Origin, right? This is a man who's so humble, doesn't gloat.
Yeah.
You want to hear his message?
Yeah. Okay. So I got one too, Tony.
You got one as well? Okay. So this is the day after Origin, okay? I'm a little glum. Yeah. I'm at Noosa. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting down at the beach. Will Chambers. It's down, you know, three people in front of me with a six pack, and I've got my, you know, my budgie smugglers on, a rashy, zinc. And I'm already feeling low, okay? I'm feeling low, and this is what happens.
You call Tony Squires, just leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Queenslander! Yeah, what a great day to be a Queenslander. Hope you're going well, mate. Sorry, it's always next year.
Hope you're going well, mate. Why just throw that in there? You didn't mean that at all.
Because I knew you were at Noosa and I was flying back. I saw Dan Ganayan and he was flying out in the afternoon. I thought, you know, I just want to ring Tone. I want to ring my boys. I rang Hoops too. Left a message for Hoops.
I got the same one, Tone.
Yeah, Gerds. I saw Gerds that night. He had enough of me, so he had about 5 hours of me.
He left me off the hook.
Yeah.
Did you leave the commentary box early?
No, you did a good job.
I got sort of the last break off. I mean, it's a small box up there, Tony. It's time for me to leave, to be honest. It was a lot of Wendell,
It was
wall to wall Wendell, and there was three other, all the techies up there, they were all Queenslanders. There was high fiving, there was a lot of carry on, and I just didn't feel at home in there at all.
I bet. Where were you, Hoops?
Mate, unfortunately, I was sitting up there at Suncorp as well, Tone. Yeah, so just watching the game, and with 5 minutes to go, I must say, I went to the bar and got a Bundy and Coke. Thought if you can't beat them, join them. So, it was a tough biscuit to swallow.
Yeah, but, boys, it's not about gloating, but after Origin 1 and we made those changes, you know, I mean, I just copped a lot of, you know, criticism in this, you know, talking about, you know, picking and sticking and all that. And, you know, Kevy went with his gut instinct, as he should. And, you know, just for me, I feel vindicated that, you know, being a Queenslander, we never give up, never give in. You know, down 1-0, you know, it's a bit like the Rocky story, I think, you know. Because, we were gone.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, which Rocky are you talking about?
Rocky Balboa, everyone's just
going. Rocky Horror Show.
They're too old and, you know, they're this and that and, you know.
They weren't too old when you made 19 changes.
They weren't too old when Valentine Holmes came in and Cameron Munster came in.
Yeah.
You got the balance right.
Yeah, no, they did. And Cohen Hess, you know, Paul Green there at stage just said, you know, he was too, you know, probably too young, not ready for Origin. And all of a sudden, you know, he's there, he's enjoying himself and,
They probably pulled the right rein bringing Billy back. He probably contributed in those last couple of games
Absolutely. Will Chambers, he was actually very nice. I did go down to him and say congratulations. Well played, Will. But please, could you put a shirt on?
Yeah.
It's really, really embarrassing. All right, we're going to get into some Origin for you. 133353 is our number if you want to have a crack as well. Queenslander, New South, Welsh person, whatever you are, whatever your thoughts, we're always interested across the 3 hours we get to share with you. We'll do the best of the best, given Cameron Munster, his debut was nothing short of sensational. Who are the best debutants in State of Origin? We'll go there. Obviously, Panthers 34, Warriors 22. Let's look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Dragons, they managed to get it done again, i.e. lose. The Raiders 18, Dragons 14, a try in Golden Point. We're going to get there as well. Plenty ahead. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers. Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. 22-6 Queensland over New South Wales, State of Origin 3. They win the series yet again. How many is that now, Del? We've obviously
11 out of 12, eh?
Yeah. 11 out of 12, eh? Yeah. He says in his Queensland accent. alkaline water for Ryan Girdler. Teamed cannily with a couple of pies today. What's going on, big fella?
Just woke up just a little bit dusty this morning. Mm-hmm. Celebrated a couple of weeks. Obviously been doing some brekkie stuff and then obviously the end of Origin. Mm-hmm. So caught up with some of the fellas yesterday and we tied one on and I woke up and started with a couple of dog's eyes this morning. Tomato sauce. Washed down with some alkaline water.
Yeah. Bit slim dusty. So all good.
22-6. All right, Wendell. Why and how did they do it?
Oh, look, I think, after the first game, they were off the pace, there's no doubt. Kevy made, I think, 7 or 8 changes through the series. But I think in that third game, I think Cameron Smith was the catalyst. I think when he comes out early in the week and says, you know, he's let the side down, let Queensland down, I think he knew what he was doing. Because after JT did his heroics in game two, got him there, and I think in the game three, Cam Smith never forgot that. Even at the end there where where he lifted the shield, I think, you know, those young players, they knew what was at stake. When they see a bloke of that age, of that pedigree, get out and put himself under the pump like that, just the way he played, like, that first half was all set up by Cam Smith. I know, you know, we could talk about Dane Gagai and what they did, Josh Maguire, those players, but just the forwards, the way they hit that intensity through the middle, I've got no doubt, and no disrespect, but I've got no doubt on paper, if you look at that New South Wales team, I was nervous. I just thought for the first time in a long time, you know, and I think I said to Gerds, I said, it's going to go 4 or 6 points either way. But this New South Wales side, I think, can come back from this because, you know, they were pretty good for the first two games, except for the last 5 minutes. And I just think in that second half, when they come back into it on the Dugan try, 12-6, I was a little bit nervous because Queensland went away from what was working for them. But as Cameron Smith does, as a few of those players do, like Billy Slater's ankle, I saw it in the dressing room afterwards, and it wasn't good, mate. That wasn't a game. It had blown up. And he even said to me at one stage, he goes, I was pretty nervous, but he goes, just the adrenaline, I think, gets you through the game. And that run that he made to set up that try, like, that was all him. Like, he took on some of the best defenders there, and I think he beat Fifita and threw that ball.
Yeah.
They're just a trust and a spirit there that you just can't manufacture. And that's been built over 10 or 12 years with guys like Cam Smith, Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, you know, Jonathan Thurston.
Cam Smith, as you mentioned, I mean, his stats, and the stats don't tell the entire story, obviously, but for the first two games, as we'd mentioned the last couple of weeks, just a few runs for a couple of metres, basically. Yeah. That obviously doesn't tell the whole story of what he did in those games. But he came out and he immediately ran it. He then went and was kind of first receiver, nursing Cameron Munster into the game, just doing brilliant stuff. You're absolutely right. That was, it was great leadership, wasn't it?
And I think that was the difference. So those pivotal moments during the whole series when Queensland were able to pull it back and get it together and New South Wales just couldn't. And that was it in game two. You know, Wendell said it there in game three. You know, there was a period there where New South Wales looked like they were building towards something. Queensland had some poor last tackle options in two sets in a row. And then all of a sudden it gave us a little bit of hope and everyone felt it. But then from the next set, instead of Queensland still pushing it and still trying to come up with the big plays, and they just went back into doing what they do best. And then they made sure, you know, they got the fundamentals right. They got to the end of their next set. They kicked it. And then they end up being the next to score again. And I think that was kind of, for me, on the night, it sort of registered like, well, that's the difference, because we couldn't do that. We come out and we started really poorly and we had no one there that could pull us back into shape. We didn't have that sort of that senior group there that I know Boyd's going to be a great leader and there's guys there that's played a few Origin. But when you think about it, you know, your Joeys and your Freddies and your Laurie's over the years, there's all what we've always had, those kind of guys have, you know, been really experienced and on the field had that presence of mind to go, this isn't working, we're going to change it, and been able to get the message across. It just seems like at the moment we don't have, you know, those guys in our side. And so when, you know, it comes down to it in those big moments, in those big games, they've got the advantage and they take it.
We saw lots of love amongst the New South Wales players in the captain's run as they led into that final game. They looked like they were there and up and ready, but from, as we said, from the comeback in game two through, it was a dominating performance from Queensland.
Well, look, you can't help but admire and respect, Tony, what Queensland have been able to achieve over the course of the last 12 seasons. It really is phenomenal. We'll probably never see the likes of it again. Cameron Smith, he's now among the greatest players of all time, without a shadow of a doubt. Wally Lewis won 8 Man of the Match awards playing for the Maroons. Cameron Smith's now won 7. So he is absolutely up there in that elite class echelon. He had been, by his own admission, not a little bit flat, but he hadn't dominated the way that he normally does on the Origin stage in the opening two games. And then so out he comes in game three and just rips the door off the hinges and takes control from the very word go. The Blues, it was interesting. I had a yak to Anthony Minicello on Fox a couple of nights ago, and he said that he felt as though they looked as though mentally they were a little bit fatigued when they started the game. Perhaps some of them, it was such a big occasion. It had been built up as potentially the biggest State of Origin game of all time, given what was at stake. And he felt as though some of them might have played the game a little bit in their head before they actually got out there. And, yeah, certainly they were just outclassed, blown off the park.
Yeah, a couple of things, I suppose, just after the game too. Just Cameron Munster, I've never seen a debut like that. I know we'll probably talk about it later, but for a young guy, we've seen him play in the grand final when Billy was, you know, when Billy was gone and that, and everyone's going, oh, mate, this Cam Munster's not a bad replacement. And I think there was a bit of confidence there. Someone said, or he had asked, how long's Billy got to go or something for his contract, you know, before he re-signed. And you thought, okay, he's pretty confident. And then just to see the way, I mean, it certainly helps having those Melbourne boys there. But Kevy backed him. You know, Michael Morgan played in centres and did a good job there. That pass he gave
killed
was unbelievable to Valentine Literally. Holmes.
Yeah.
But then even after it, to see Cameron Smith, when he brought JT up there, to say, you know, he's the best player he's seen in that Maroon jersey. You think about this, I mean, Lockyer, Lewis, you know, whether it was the occasion. But, you know, I spoke to JT afterwards, and since they were 9 or 10, they've been playing against each other and played against each other and with each other. I think for the Queensland 19s, I think New South Wales, JT played for New South Wales, Cam played for Queensland. And it's a friendship built over a long time, so I just think there's that respect there. And I just to see that in the dressing room even after it, Jonathan Thurston actually, he pulled back a lot from it. Just watching him, there was a few of the boys, Anthony Seibold and that, the coaches, and he just sort of let Cameron Munster and those players have his time, because I suppose it probably took a lot out of him anyway, just all the celebrations. But I think he was happy for the team. But I think part of Jonathan Thurston, he's such a competitor, he would love to play that, but he's happy for the boys that they won.
I've got to say, I was surprised that they didn't go with Munster for game one. When JT was unavailable, I was really surprised. I know Matty Johns pushed for him heavily and said that he thought he was going to be the man. Yeah. I remember speaking to Kevy leading into when the side was selected, and he said, look, it's out of those two, and there is only a struck match between them. Mm. They obviously decided to go with Milford, but that debut from Munster, well, yeah, he's just grabbed hold of that jumper. I don't think he'll be letting go of it anytime soon.
No, and if you think about it too, I have to give Kevy the credit too, because last year he suspended about 10 guys. And in those 10 guys were Napa, Holmes, Cameron Munster, Milford, like all these guys, Holmes. Yeah. So it makes you hungrier. And that came from the senior players too, saying, mate, we back your decision, Kevy. And, you know, they've come away with it.
What was it like in the dressing room afterwards in the Queensland rooms?
Mate, it was, mate, because I think by the time we got there after Triple M, where Dan and I and Gerd's wrapped up, I got down there about 11:30, and it was just, I think there was a lot of relief there. There wasn't too much carry on. The coaches were having sort of the interesting. Then Wally Lewis walks in. Lockie was there. But then you'd seen, like, you know, Cam Smith with the younger players. It wasn't just like the senior players were together. It was like, you know, there was one moment there where I saw Cameron Munster walk over to JT and sit down and, like, have a beer with him and that. And I just, for me, there's a real humbleness about that team and real respect for what they've done. You know, Cohen Hess, you walk in there. So, and I think Mel Meninga, you know, it's always been that Mel Meninga was big on having ex-players come in. Mick Crocker was in there at one stage. And, mate, I think I left at about 1:10 and they were still there. Cameron Smith still on his jersey talking with the young blokes, Jared Wallace and that. It was unbelievable.
You got to say, Tone, congratulations to Kevy. He was absolutely under siege after that opening game. He backed himself, as Wendell said, and made all those changes. There was talk Wayne Bennett was potentially going to be in line. That was obviously rubbish, the way that was reported. But irrespective, for Kevy to make all those changes, for Queensland to cling on and somehow find a way to win that game two and then come out on their home soil and produce that style of performance in game three, he's marked himself as an absolute champion coach.
Was there too much made of the notion that New South Wales stuck with the same players through. Should there have been a change of personnel between two and three?
Well, in hindsight possibly now, I think, you know, one of the other things Queensland do, and especially on the field, they hold people accountable. And I think that, you know, even though we had a great game and a great win in the first, in the second, yeah, there was probably some things that and look, I think Laurie's probably sometimes guilty of being too loyal. And if, you know, if he chooses to go on whether he doesn't, whoever comes in, I think, you know, we need somebody that's just going to make those really tough calls and do what's absolutely best, you know, for the series and to try and get the win. And yeah, maybe he, in hindsight, he should have made some changes, but they just looked flat. It was just hard to believe that they came out. And Minnie had some really good points there where he said they looked mentally fatigued. It just looked like the whole series was sort of just too much for them at that sort of the final hurdle. And they just never got out of the blocks. And it was so obvious when you're up there watching it that we were in trouble from the kickoff.
Do we throw it out there then? Laurie Daly, will he stay? I know he says he's making a decision in a couple, as I read today. He's made a decision, allegedly, and he's not going to announce it for a little while. Just have a little stew, I guess, in his brain. He's obviously a lot of things going through his thoughts at the moment. If he's not the man, who is?
Well, let me start, Tone, by saying Laurie Daly is an absolute champion. He's a champion bloke. He's an Origin legend. Joey Johns rated his best ever New South Wales players last week on the Sunday Footy Show, and he had Laurie Daly as number one. So that shows you the style of man that Laurie Daly is and the champion player that he was, the respect that he commands. But, Tone, we're kidding ourselves if the Blues and the New South Wales Rugby League are kidding themselves if they're going to continue along the same path.
Yeah.
We've won one series out of the last five.
Yep.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing that you did yesterday and expecting a different result. They haven't got the results for whatever reason, so you've got to go in a different direction. The way that I see it, I would go with Freddie Fittler, and I would have Joey absolutely in there as well. In what role, I don't know, but Freddie's the head coach, and I think you got to blow the whole thing up and start again.
Well, look, I think you're right. We all know what Laurie has brought to Origin. He's been wonderful, but I think you need to change up. And, mate, I'd even look at Dean Pay. So whether it's Dean Pay and Joey, but you got to have Joey Johns in there. Mate, you saw, mate, and I've known Joey for a long time. You've seen the way that he sees the game differently to other people, and you need him in there. I don't think Joey can do a full-time role. Look, I don't think that's Joey Johns, because he needs to float in and out. That's his best way. That's why he's so good in the media, because when he says what he says, he does with passion, he thinks, and he sees the game differently. And I've known that because I've seen it firsthand, you know, playing against him as an 18-year-old. New South Wales need Andrew Johns in there, I mark my words, and even Freddie to an extent. You know, those two or three, some of those guys in there, that's what you need, because they could put a lid on it, make it fun. You know, even Kevy, Kevy was really good because he let the boys have a bit of fun when they had, but there's so much pressure on New South Wales because of the way it's gone. Mate, they've played against one of the greatest teams of all time in any sort of code.
Why does it need to be a non-NRL coach? Why can't Craig Bellamy be the man again? I know he's been there before. He's got all those Queensland players in his side at Melbourne. Why don't they give Craig Bellamy a tap on the shoulder? Surely he's the best coach going around at the moment.
Is that unfair for Melbourne Storm, though? I mean, look what it already does to, you know, this part of...
It's the greater good, Gerds.
Well, maybe it is, but you know, Bellyache had an opportunity. When was it, 2007 or 2008 back then?
Long time
and,
ago. He had a couple
and,
of years,
and I
yeah.
think, and maybe he didn't have a lot of success there as well, because the fact of the matter is you don't have a lot of time, and I think Craig Bellamy likes to really get in and you know, pull the game apart and come up with the right systems and the right structures and everything, you know, to go out. And the blokes that I spoke to during his tenure there, the players all said, look, it was all too much. We came in, there was too much stuff going on. It was too hard to get it all together in such a short space of time. So whether or not he could come in and maybe try a different tact is another thing. But I think it's just unfair. Fair for the NRL club.
It's funny you ask that. I remember I did The Greatest Athlete with Billy Slater, and I said, mate, does any of the boys go back and sort of have a bit of fun with Bellamy? And he reckons the only one that really said anything to Craig Bellamy, and obviously they're all good mates, was Cam Smith. Bally, after they won the second series or something, he goes, Belzer, surely you're not going to put yourself through that again. You're not going to beat us, mate. So just a little bit of a snipe, you know, in a good way. And Belzer laughed because, it, you know, it is what it is, and it has been a great side for a long time.
All right, plenty still to come. We'll do a bit of a best of the best next after Cameron Munster's amazing debut in that win, Queensland 22, New South Wales 6. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers. How are those two pies sitting on your little tummy, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. They mightn't be sitting there much longer.
I love it. All right, that was a terrific debut from Cameron Munster. So good, we thought we'd put it into context with a little of this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, gentlemen. Your task, should you choose to complete it, is to find within amongst you three of the best debuts in State of Origin. Who wants to start me off? Is it you? Well, before that, Wendell Saylor, when was your debut and how good was it?
1996.
Yeah.
We lost 18-6 at Lang Park to New South Wales. And I started on the wing. Robbie O'Davis got injured and I played the second half at fullback. And I was lucky enough to get Queensland players play. So, it was, for me, a very proud moment to play for Queensland, but didn't really enjoy the result.
So you got player's player on your debut?
Yeah.
All right, we're about to put you down here on this list.
No,
Possibles.
No, but we lost.
I'm not putting pen, I've just got a pencil.
But we lost, mate. You know, we lost.
Okay, All right. Does it have to be a winning team that you make your debut to be in this? All right, What about you, Gerds? It's 1998?
97.
Well, that was Super League.
Okay. Yeah, you can't get that.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't count. That doesn't exist. 1998 was your State of Origin debut?
No.
Okay.
99.
Dirty?
Yes.
Filthy.
Oh, no, look, I mean, but the guy, like, E.T. and I think Paul McGregor were the centres.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you expect? Right, but I had to wait another year, which was a bit frustrating.
And talk us through, how was the debut when you got there? Were you on fire?
Yeah, it was a weird day, actually, because obviously, you know, I was named in the centres and we went for our morning walk the day of the game. And Junior Pierce was the coach at the time. He comes up to me, like, this is about 6 or 8 hours before the game, and says, I think we're going to start you from the bench.
What?
And I was like, really? And, like, I was pretty disappointed. I said, oh, mate, whatever's the best for the team. And I said, what's your strategy? What are you going to use? He said, oh, well, I'm going to put you on in the back end of the first half, and you might play some dummy half, and you just sort of run around, play on the ball. And I went, well, okay, no problem. So, yeah, I had to sit on the bench, and then I got on after about 25 minutes and was playing dummy half for a little while there. So it was an interesting debut. We lost. It was at Suncorp, or it was Lang Park at the time, and then came back and we won the game too. And then I started in the centres, and the rest of the time I was there. So it was interesting. Yeah,
it was all interesting, wasn't it? Was that the horse incident as well? Was in that campaign where the
Robbie Kearns.
That was 99 was the horse. Yeah,
and we drew the last game in at Lang Park.
We did. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you won the series. Well,
Is there anybody that can beat these two debuts we've just heard from? All right, where are we going to go? Hoops, have you got a couple for me?
Yeah, I want to go all the way back to 1987, Tone. And a bloke who I always loved watching play, who was a real enforcer, was Les Davidson for the Blues. He debuted at Lang Park. He got man of the match on debut in game one of the 1987 series. I remember that game vividly, and Bundy Davidson, he was just one of those real hard nut lunatics.
Yeah. Yep.
But I tell you what, that debut from Munster on last Wednesday night.
It's up there?
For sure. That was a phenomenal entrance into that arena, given what was on the line, given the way that he lifted.
Who's worn those jerseys?
It was like 100%. Yeah. He's in the jumper worn by the King, worn by Kevy Walters, worn by JT, worn by Darren Lockyer, and he just owns it. That's definitely up there. And look, how could you forget, you know, the original back in 1980, Arthur Beetson. You know, look, that first game for him for Queensland, he played all those years for New South Wales.
Yeah, I'd say, to be fair, he played 100.
Yeah, and then finally he gets the opportunity to play for his rightful state. And, you know, the State of Origin wouldn't be what it is if Artie hadn't kicked it all off.
If he hadn't punched Mick Cronin in the head.
That's right, Well, it was more of a stiff arm, but, it was a good shot.
Yeah, no, I suppose for me, as I said, I think last week, you know, guys like Gene Miles and Chris Close, they were the big outside backs. I know they had Boasted there. But Chris Close, he epitomised what Origin was about. I think he scored a try there in his first Origin. He was young, he was strong, he was from, you know, the country. Loved watching him play. And then I suppose, mate, G.I., he only had 22 or 25 games under his belt, and he just owned that Origin arena. He didn't just score twice, he set him up. And I think there was one game there where I think they showed vision the other night where he pushed over Steve Turner and a couple other blokes there. Mate, he was so hard to handle. I mean, I know he's from Barraville, but geez, we love him. He's a great Queenslander. Oh, mate, great Queenslander.
Don't start.
Look, Queenslander. Michael O'Connor was the one that I really enjoyed. I think it was about 85. He
was your hero, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was. I think it was two tries and five. from five, so on debut, which was a big effort, and he was a great Origin player. Eric Groth had another, the senior, he had another great debut. I think he was back sort of in the early 80s, and I remember it was like a 90-metre try he scored on his debut, and he got a couple of tries there as well. So there's been some classic debuts, but hard to go past Munster as well. I mean, it's just a sensational performance.
All right, we're putting him in our top three. There you go.
Yeah,
Cameron
Munster,
your debut is in the top three, in the best of the best. Look, we're going to get to more Origin as the afternoon progresses. 133353 is our number next. So we will talk some NRL. The Panthers, 34, beating the Warriors, 22, as a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. That's next. If you've ever thought that you have the voice, that you want to be one of the greatest callers of rugby league in the history of the game, you have the opportunity. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to tell you all about it, how you can get involved in the footy voice. The footy voice. Basically, we're going to sit on large chairs, and if we like the footy voice, we're going to spin around and accept you.
Okay, I'm going to be Seal.
Okay, well, that's probably a good.
Who's
call,
Boy George?
That'll be you, Gerds.
Yeah, stop it, Delta. All right. That's happening at 1 o'clock, so hang around, get ready to give you all the details. It's going to be huge. Mm. All right, and now this is maybe to give you some kind of inspiration. Do you hear how calling is done on this very network from the game last night? The Panthers, 34, the Warriors, 22.
Thanks to Cbus, whether you're on the tools or in the office, Cbus is built to last. Triple M NRL highlights.
The Panthers will kick off on a underway. Friday drive time footy. Play the loop. Goes to the right and forward. Catch and pass on here to Mannering. Keeps it going to Johnson. Dubbies goes through. Inside pass to Mannering. He ties over. He gets it down. He's in. Rain throws to Cleary. Rolls the kick into the end goal. Oh, I think they got there. I think Hutter-Weirder got there first. And the Panthers have hit back. Ball is played and Solomona Kata goes for the line. He got over and I reckon he got it down.
Too big, too strong. How powerful was he, Solomona Kata? He just lined it up, then he said, look, I want this try. Give me the ball. As he gets the ball, he just goes straight through there. And
ball played thrown left to Cleary. Takes the line on. Then gets a short pass to Merritt. Then he flicks it inside to Tyrone May, who plunges over.
We're going to be in for one of these games, I reckon, where they score, you score, they keep it tight.
By Durain, throws to the right to Cleary. Oh, takes them on himself, reaches out and scores! Sensational, Mason Cleary! Bullets on the way to Tuivasa-Sheck, keeps the game, Akata, straight through he goes, beats one to Blake, gets it down to the corner. Luke, away to Ford, a catch and pass to Johnson, they hurry up.
Blake.
Quick hands to Tuivasa-Sheck, now to Mannering. Mannering to Thompson, out to Aishman, chance, inside pass, Booty! Is over. Katoa now to Campbell Gillard. Inside pass to Edwards. Sends him down the middle. Cleary looms up. He gets the ball now. Shut the gate. Cleary scores. Katoa gives it to Cleary. Takes them on. Oh. Goes straight through. Oh, this is sensational. Oh. Pinty is back. Gets over for a hat trick. What a game Nathan Cleary has had.
Centre field the Panthers. He comes across now to Cleary. He puts a high ball up towards the corner.
Taken on the full by Wonga Blake, and he's going to get over and score. What a result for the Panthers. 34-22.
There it is. The Panthers keep their finals hopes alive. And with the Dragons having their loss, they keep slowing down, looking in the rear vision mirror. And Penrith now loom large for them. It was a game they really had to win, Del, and they got the job done.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, both teams had to win that game. You know, the Warriors pick a few easy wins off in and around Origin time. They don't have any players involved in Origin. I mean, look at them in the first game. But I've got to say, mate, Nathan Cleary, he stepped up last night. He scored three tries, couple of try assists. For a young player, he plays beyond his years. Matt Morland hurt his hamstring, you know, before it was tightened up or something. So he was a late scratching. So you know, you always knew the Panthers had something in them because they've got a good record against the Warriors. The Warriors, you know, they changed the name of the stadium to Manu Vatavai Stadium for the night. You know, it was a nice reception for him at the start. But they started so well. You know, they just nice little play down that right-hand side. Simon Mannering, you know, he juggles the ball, scores a try, and you think, hey, you know, the Warriors could be on here tonight. And you think Foz, someone like Kieran Foran would step up. But, you know, they just keep making silly mistakes. And, you know, we talked about Solomon Akata there. You know, he played really strong. He threw a nice little pass just before halftime. In the winger, he dropped it. Like, he should have caught that. His job is to catch the ball. They went back there. It flattered him a little bit. And, yeah, the Warriors, they just find a way to lose games. You know, Sean Johnson got injured there in the second half. They were in front, I suppose, at that time.
Yep.
And even when Corey
Harawira and Naira.
He got sent off for 10 minutes, and they scored two tries to the Warriors, and you just think, oh, mate, the Panthers, you know, they're probably going to be gone here, and they just found something, the Panthers. So, mate, good win to them. I don't know what you thought, Hoops, but I just thought it was there to be won by the Warriors.
Oh, look, I'll tell you what, Wendell, if you hadn't already put the red pen through the Warriors, I think you can absolutely after that loss last night. And most importantly, you touched on it momentarily there. It's the injury to Sean Johnson that is going to absolutely put the line through their season. They think it's going to be an ACL. It hasn't been confirmed at this point, but...
that's the World Cup too at the end of the year, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. Wow. So it's a massive, massive story and a real shame for Sean Johnson, the Warriors and the Kiwis. But I spoke to a couple of people over there this morning and that is their worst fears, is that it looks like it's going to be his ACL. So, yeah, I think the Warriors, they're gone for the rest of the season, if that's the case. And for Penrith... it was a great win.
Oh,
it was a great win. They needed to do it. They needed to kickstart their season somehow. And, yeah, I thought young Nathan Cleary, just outstanding.
Before we get on him, just tidying up on the injury front, Trent Merrin also went down. Have we heard anything from the Panthers as yet on how severe that was?
We'll keep you updated, Tone.
Okay, all right, we'll have a look.
Yeah, it was impressive by Cleary, wasn't obviously Moylan not playing and him just being able to go out there and sort of take the reins like that. And a lot of halfbacks do that sometimes when they're sort of their partner in crime's away. They really feel obliged to go out there and make a point of difference, and he certainly did that. I love his running game. I think I think he runs more than any other halfback in the competition. I think that's generally because he never wants to give the ball to a guy in a worse-off position than himself. And last night it just came about that, you know, the Warriors' defence was pretty poor, but the fact that he was just willing to take the ball to the line and came up with a couple of big plays. Look, 7 games to go, is there, Tony?
Yeah.
I'd say 7 games to go. Penrith are on 20 points, so they're going to need to win at least four of their last 7 games. They've got a pretty good draw running in. I mean, they've got the Tigers, they've got the Dragons. but no, they've got a couple of games in there, the Titans as well, and I think they've got four of their next 5 games or something at home.
Yep.
So the ball's in their court now, and if they want to make a push for the finals, it's not without without hope.
Yeah, well, the Dragons do have a tougher run home than that, obviously, and then their momentum is very low.
But just back to last night too, the young half, mate, his first touch, you know, he's so confident, he takes it on, he drops the ball on his first touch, he ends up scoring a try, and for a young bloke, I thought it was a pretty good debut from him, you know, and obviously it helps when Nathan Cleary's playing like that, and the forwards were good last. James Tarmel last night, he was good through the middle, and Regan Campbell, you know, I think he started off the bench, mate.
Yeah, that surprised me.
He's a starter every day of the week, but I mean... You know, look, Anthony Griffin, he's doing his job. So that's 2 wins for Penrith against the Warriors this year.
All right, when we come back, why don't we put Nathan Cleary in the frame? Is it too early? He's the Blues halfback next year. We can't lose. I'm serious. Is Nathan Cleary the guy? Will he be selected for State of Origin already? Well, look, we're only a year away.
Yeah.
I mean, time to start talking about next year, surely.
Mitchell Pearce didn't do a great deal wrong for that series.
Really? No, he didn't. Yeah. But they lost. And, you know, I guess at some point that record will, you know, it is jumping out.
I think always, usually depending on the coach as well, if a new coach comes in, they usually like to, you know, have an impact in relation to the bring some new people in or clean some old people out, comes in with some new ideas, a new game plan. So I guess it all comes down to who's that new coach going to be and how he likes to play the game. But he's certainly going to be a candidate next year. I think that was his best game probably his best game for the club. He had a couple of rippers last year. Obviously, their form hasn't been great this year. The Panthers certainly hasn't been a lack of his effort. I like the fact that last night he was getting to the end of the sets. He was putting some good kicks in. He was in control of those small parts of the game, which are really key if Penrith are going to make a charge to the finals.
Phil Gould isn't excited about the notion of Nathan Cleary being the next New South Wales half, certainly not next year. He's quoted as saying he didn't want it to happen, really. New South Wales, I'm just reading his quote, have an unenviable record of bringing young halves into Origin football well before they're ready. And are well before the team is well enough equipped to accommodate them. It's my intention to ensure that doesn't happen to Nathan Cleary. End of discussion.
Well, Gus is quite smart because he understands what this era is going through with Queensland. Because you think next year, you think it's going to be Cam Smith and Billy Slater. I reckon they'll go around again. There's a game in Melbourne next year. I reckon, you know, everyone will live for that. Nathan Cleary, I think he's got all the attributes to play Origin football. And I understand where Gus is coming from. Yeah, maybe even 12, 24 months, you know. Not 12 months, but, like, just let next series go. Have someone else there. You know, Adam Reynolds is thereabouts. And then maybe after that might be, you know, his time. I think he's quite smart in what he's saying there, Gus. But but obviously he's not going to be the coach next year of Origin unless he wants to put up his hand. But he's got some relative points, and when Gus talks, I think we all listen.
Absolutely. At this stage, it's too early, Tone, to call. Look, Nathan had an outstanding game last night against the Warriors over in New Zealand, and he had an outstanding debut season. But I think to be selected for State of Origin as a primary playmaker, you'd like to see that style of form over a considerable period of time. So 12 months, 18 months. Yeah. I'm with Gus. I think at this stage might be a little bit too soon, but who knows? If they give Freddie the job, Freddie's guaranteed to think a little bit outside the box.
100% he is.
Is Gus allowed to say yes or no if it came to that?
Well, Gus and Freddie are pretty close, so I dare say they'll be having that conversation behind closed doors.
So you've given Freddie the job already, have you?
I think Freddie's a perfect candidate.
What about Dean Pay?
Yeah, I think Dean Pay could do it well. He's done a great job. He's done a great job with the 20s.
So you're thinking Freddie or Dean Pay? You didn't really say.
One's done a good job.
Okay. Me personally, I would go with Freddie.
Okay, that's what I wanted from you, mate. So New South Wales, you've got to be a bit stronger in your point of views.
You know what? You're starting to annoy me now, Wendell. At the start of the show, I was enjoying it. Let you have your moment. It's okay. I know you rang me and gloated already, but you know now you do it in front of a lot of people.
But sorry, but this is what I've been copying from the last couple of months from you guys. You know. Like, you guys have been into me a bit.
Can somebody please, if, you know, I don't know how New South Wales were favourites going into State of Origin.
How many times have we asked Jared Duffy? What is going on? Yeah. How are they $1.77? Yeah. It's up there.
Yeah. Rumpf. If somebody says at the beginning of next year, the first Origin will be in front and will be favourites.
You know it's
what,
Melbourne.
I saw Jamie Rogers put a market up on Fox the other night.
No.
The Blues are the favourites for game one in Melbourne.
They're not. 100%.
I saw them.
That's a lie.
Are you serious? I'm going to tweet Jamie Rogers and ask her if that's true.
Ask Jamie Rogers.
Let's get her. Okay. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Now, look, stick around. Just after 1 o'clock, we are going to launch the Triple M Footy Voice. If you think you have that voice to call a game of rugby league, the greatest there is, well, this is your opportunity to get involved. Now, I know I am sitting in a room with a couple of terrific commentators. They're obviously on the expert commentary style of things, Gerds and Wendell Saylor. Have you done ball-by-ball commentary, Wendell, at all?
Oh, yeah, I love ball-by-ball.
Have you?
it's quite a tough skill set, but if you apply yourself hard enough, you can get to the end. It's good.
You can get to the end.
Yeah.
That's all your hopes and dreams are. I just want to get to the end.
No, but you got to practice. Practice makes perfect there, Tony.
Thank you, Dr. Cliche. Well, Jamie Soward, last night during the Dragons-Raiders game, he actually did his audition during the action live. Have a listen.
He's been impressive for this Raiders side this year in his debut season as Big Dave Taylor coming off the bench tonight's made plenty of metres. Bateman out the back to season now. Finds up Whitehead, who passes to Lolea. Lolea, Cooker Parner away.
Oh, good calling, James. And the ball's come loose, though.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be the Dragons who'll get it now. 15. I thought you were going to call a try.
Well, I didn't want all our shift workers out there to miss the play maroon, so no, I sort of ran with
a
it.
A great job.
Jamie Soward there having a go.
He's great, Jamie Soward. He's really improved. I'm really enjoying his commentary.
See, we're back to you being the critic of other people. The mentor of other people on the radio. We've got to get you
Jamie and I have been mates for a while. Yeah. He's been good. Even people said to me, gee, Jamie's good to listen to on the radio. Mm-hmm. He's got such a good football brain. Why wouldn't you listen to him?
I'm confused.
I'm so confused. I won't be confused after 1 o'clock when we will set up the footy voice for you. It's huge and it's about to happen. Saturday Triple M NRL.